You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
This is Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 78. Wow, let's start off with a poll straight away. A bumper number of votes. We've been talking increasingly recently about the number of votes we've been getting. We cracked 50 votes this week. Very impressive. 54 votes. It was a very one-sided poll. We knew very early on that this was not going to be... we knew the result of this pretty quickly. I was not the winner. You were the winner. 74% to 26%. Do you want to announce what your actual choice was then? I assume people who voted probably realized what it was, but...
No.
Well, that's very random.
The reason I'm saying no is because it's part of my good cop for this week.
Okay. All right. So I will announce then that I chose the reaction to Elias as my good cop moment, and therefore you chose the other one. I thought it was wonderful. I loved it. I don't care that it didn't win. I just love the crowd involvement. I love that Elias is still so over. He's been doing that for a long time now. And the fact that the crowd still love it and want to be involved with it, I thought was brilliant. Sami Zayn played along with it perfectly, which only enhanced it. He was quite prepared to put Elias over, which I thought was great. So, yes, I will be doing editing duty this week.
Good! Bad!
I was hoping to review, and I'm sure we probably will at some point, Fight Club, the second event. I think it's kind of confusing. They have two different names. Anyway, I'm going to go with it as Fight Club. And I want to talk about pretty much the whole event, but I specifically want to focus on the main event. They had a tournament. It started off with 8 people. They went to the semifinals. It was 4 people. They had a final all on the same day. And the final was between Darius Lockhart and Trish Adora. People who've been listening to our reviews of Primetime Pro will be familiar with the name Trish Adora. And she appears in a few other organizations as well. Oh, my goodness. That event that they have there, it's a cracking venue. I said on the first one, we loved it. It's only 3 rows deep. So you can sit 3rd row. That's the worst seat in the house, which that's not the worst seat by any definition at all. I don't think I've ever seen such crowd involvement. Somebody actually asked, what's the best crowd you've ever been at? Now, I keep changing this because I keep finding other events. I put this one. I said, this is right up there. The last 5 minutes of that event, I will put alongside anything you got to show me, Matt. I would put it against anything WWE's got. There was false finishers. There was a wild card. Somebody came into the match who wasn't expected. There was twists and turns, near finishers. Trish Adora won the title. So a couple of reasons why this was a big thing for this organization. I've got a tweet from them, actually. And I told you at the start, bad cop moment. My computer's playing up, so I can't read everything on my screen. The quote says, we are pro-POC. We are pro-black. We are pro-trans. We are pro-LGBTQ. We are Fight Club. Now, I'm not sure. I think the POC is people of color. I had to try and figure that one out. Certainly, I've mentioned we are pro-black as well. And yeah, the figure of this company after 2 events is a black woman. It's absolutely wonderful. It's fantastic. The reaction from people was fantastic. Now, I talked about last week how I posted a picture and people kind of took it with that. I posted the video for this on Twitter. I took a quick look a second ago. It's had nearly 1,000 views already. Lots of different people have retweeted it. It's amazing. You can see people jumping up and down. You can see the wrestlers surrounding the ring after she won, and they were banging on the floor. In a separate video, which I don't know if I retweeted it or not, it shows you filming Trish Adora wrestling against Eel O'Neil, and then the camera panning around showing a girl in the audience who's clearly very excited by this. This is important. We know with Kofi Kingston, that was a really important moment for having a black wrestler as a WWE champion. This is not just a woman being a champion, which we've seen before. This is a black woman being a champion. That's really important for those people to see those positive role models there. Congratulations to Fight Club for making such a statement like that. The reaction, absolutely phenomenal if you haven't seen it. And without a doubt, if it hadn't been a little bit later, I would have chosen this as my best cop moment for the poll. But it's over a week away, so I chose it as my good cop moment for this week.
Fair enough, sir. There's no doubt about it that that's good. I can't say anything to add to it, Grand Jury, to be really honest.
Oh, I got one quote I actually missed. Sugar Dunkerton, who we used to see at Nova Pro and actually is part of the We the Indies podcast, he saw the event. He says, what Atrishadora 202 has done tonight is important. Different, necessary, inspiring, lovely. A black woman with the top title in a company. The face, the top spot. The king is dead, long live the queen. Oh, at PAWD_WC. They have a really strange name. I'm still going to go call them with Fight Club. But yeah, it was interesting to see how many people did comment on this video, retweet this video, like this video. Everybody had something positive to say about this.
And well, they should. I don't see anyone who could think anything negative about this, especially in 2020, unless you are a moron.
I'm sure we might get a few mentions of those later.
I dare say. Now, now, my good comment of the week, it happened on SmackDown. It happens to be my best comment from last week, which means I'm not editing this week, Graham. So good luck editing this episode, sir. Now, the reason this is my good comment, it still is my best thing happened this week. That's why it's my good comment moment. Otis had a date with Mandy Rose. Now, just in case anyone doesn't know, okay, yes, I am not of a heterosexual persuasion, but everyone can relate to this. I was that fat kid who never got a date with someone pretty. I was always that guy, okay? Loads of people out there listening to my voice probably have the same thing. If you're going through the same thing now, trust me, things will get better. Trust me. Now, the good cop moment is not because Matt and Deanna didn't have Dolph Ziggler. It was how Otis sold it. Everyone had their heart broken. And WWE.com actually, you know, they shared it on Twitter. As you said, you can see the part where Otis's heart breaks in half. Damn right you could. Oh, my God. WWE have done a brilliant job of building this slowly. And everyone is going to want Otis to rip Ziggler apart for this. Ziggler who can bump with the best of them, and Otis who can move like a cruiserweight. This has the potential to be a fantastic feud if it's done right. And so far, I think Bruce Pritchard's doing the writing for SmackDown now. He's done a great job with this one. Lord, may it continue.
And you got to pick your best cop moment first. And I actually told you, I was looking at it from the other side. I was going to pick the Dolph Ziggler stepping in and being at the restaurant with Mandy. I thought that was a great piece of heel work. I didn't see that coming at all. I was totally blindsided. I was totally along with everybody else. Like, oh, this is Otis. This is going to be perfect. And then you got the rug dragged from under your feet. And yeah, that was definitely one I was considering as well. So I can totally understand why you picked that. And it was something that was unexpected, but makes perfect sense and is great booking.
It was, you need two sides to have perfect booking. You need two sides. You can't have one person carry it all. Ziggler pulled it off as we know he can. So well done to Orkison and Mandy Rose as well. She was obviously in the middle of it. Oh, she did a good job. Did a good job. Now, any speed check for you, sir?
It is. I have my stopwatch ready because I have quite a few things written down. So I know I only have a minute. So I've got to make sure that I might have to talk very quickly at the end. All right, I'm going to start now. Mason and Jackson got to meet Nyla Rose this week. She was actually at that event that I talked about. We saw her. It was actually, Mayday who spotted her, and he was like, oh, she's over there. And he showed me he got a picture with her. I was like, man. Anyway, we managed to get a picture as well. Mason, very excited by that. That's a big name. It kind of wraps up that AEW Dynamite thing pretty nicely now. NXT TakeOver event, fantastic. I missed the Rhea Ripley match, but I did see everything else. I really enjoyed that. NWA Squared Circle, I like that. Having not liked NWA last week, I like that format. Will Mahoney was one of the people who was on there as one of the voices as part of the Big Gold Belt podcast. So that was great to see. So AJ is awesome there as well, and NWA Kid. There was a few people I recognized. It was good. I was waiting to see your face, Matt, but it didn't happen. Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy both appearing in the first two matches of AEW Dark. Love that. Christy James made her AEW debut. We saw her several times at Nova Pro, sometimes tagging with Alley Cat. And Bobby Orlando Jr., that's the GOAT, announced they're going to be in the Grey Sweatpants Battle Royale, which Faye Jackson's organizing at WrestleMania. All Oh, you can check the time. That is a minute dot on. I couldn't have done that any better. All right, what have you got for your speed check? Because you don't care about time. You did like 2.25 minutes the other week. But go ahead, see if you can try and keep it to a minute.
Before I do a speed check, I want to put a little comment about Mason and Jackson meeting Nyla Rose. We talked in DM about Mason and Jackson meeting Nyla Rose and how massively important it was to meet her. I actually showed that to Chris on Sunday, and Chris did the whole hand over his head thing again, didn't have a clue who she was, and I explained who she was, the first trans wrestler to like be in a big company, and she's got a big belt, and he did like, that's actually really awesome. I'm like,
yeah,
my boyfriend actually got something about wrestling for a change. That's what it's about. It's not about the grappling in the ring, so that's something that's about making an impression on the generations to come. And, you know, everyone should be allowed to live who they want to be. And that's what it's about right there. And the fact that someone who doesn't watch wrestling got it, well, Chris obviously would get it, obviously, but it meant a lot to me that he got it, so.
I was more nervous about meeting Nyla than I was meeting Mick Foley. Because I didn't have time to prepare for this one. It was suddenly like, oh, she's there. Let me go and ask. It was like, is it okay if like the boys get like a picture? She couldn't have been nicer, but I was really... I didn't even congratulate her on winning the AEW title. That's kind of how... And Mason afterwards was just like in awe. Like, we obviously saw her face Rio in that very first event. So it was really cool that she was... Oh, she was like, yeah, come on, get a picture. Really nice. Somebody tried to block the picture because they weren't paying attention. Nyla's like, hey, can you come out of the way? I'm trying to move her out of the way so we get a picture. Fantastic moment. Yeah, can't speak highly about enough about that. It also opened that conversation with Mason as well, because I don't think that we obviously talked about several issues, but I don't think he didn't realize that Nyla Rose was transgender. So that kind of opened up that line of conversation as well. So obviously we've had a lot of discussions through wrestling about different social things, and it kind of opened that one up as well to him, because I figured he probably didn't realize. So I figured now was probably the right time to mention that. But that gives him now something that's relatable when he hears talk now about transgender issues, which I think is great.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely wonderful. How you felt being so nervous before meeting someone like that, how me and Alex had felt before meeting Eddie Marsden last year. No prep at all. Terrified. Big star. Yeah, never been more scared in my life about interviewing. We had an interview, whereas you just did a photo, just, yeah. he says. But
that was a like totally funny. I joked with Mason and actually said, I wonder if Niall will record a bump for the MGB Wrestling Podcast. There was no way I'd have had the confidence to ask for that.
My speed check, Graham. Okay. Bros awaits win the NXT Tag Team Championships. Just a good moment because it smacks in your face because you hate the two of them being together. And also, let's face it, Pete Dunne kicking out of that suplex. My word, that was impressive. And another thing was Matt Hardy back on Raw this week.
Uh-huh.
I was very happy to see that. We thought he was done with WWE. He's not done just yet, it turns out. But he was helping there at the angle between Edge and Randy Orton. Speed check done.
I did hear that they thought that segment could be dragged out for an extra week. But yeah, it's certainly, as you said, it's only a temporary thing. And Matt Hardy is basically done. But yeah, they got another week out of it. So hey, why not? If it worked well, why not use it for a second week? I don't see any problems with that at all.
Good. Bad.
Okay, guys. PowerSlam TV, obviously our sponsors, of course. Use the code GOODCOP back on 30 days free. I watched something this week, Graham, which I know that you weren't able to attend, because if you had done, you would have done a review on it on MGB. I checked the network. You haven't done this one. VCW Tidings of Destruction. You were booked for another event that day, I believe. Back on the 7th of December. I watched it on the app. Remember, guys, go onto the website and then go back to the app to watch it using our code. Amazing card. Just a few little ones off the top of my head. Golden Pinky Society, of course, on the card. That's a pretty big name in itself. I mean, you got them really met multiple times and how amazing they are. But they've also got Ken Dixon on the card. They've got Brandon Scott, the Real Life Freaks, Simply Safe-ish were there. And, of course, special guest Mick Foley. So That's not good enough reason for you to go and check it out, guys. I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure Graham will go and check it out because he likes watching VCW.
I thought we'd watched that one. I don't think we did. We must have watched either the one before or the one after. But yeah, I know we watched one of them. But yeah, I didn't see the one with Mick Foley. I saw the one with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So yeah, I need to go back, and that's one I didn't manage to catch. Yeah, we did. We had another event on the same day, so we didn't go.
Good. Bad.
Okay, Graham, bad cop time. What you got for me, sir?
Bad.
I could probably just do this as my speed segment. I don't have much to say, but I have something that needs saying, though. I think it's something that we've talked about before, and I think it's something that needs to be talked about again because it came up again this week. So the only thing that slightly soured meeting Nyla Rose was the reaction on Twitter from some of those aforementioned morons who had to make comments. The fact that some people were complaining that AEW has a list of like socially fan acceptable behaviors is appalling. The fact that they even need to announce that you can't be offensive to people, that you can't abuse them and all these things, the fact that that's even questionable is appalling. Perhaps AEW should have made a stand a little bit clearer, or they should have made their voice a little bit louder. But yeah, the fact that some people were very negative about Nyla Rose winning the title for reasons that people who follow Twitter even closely will know about. What followed on from this was Dustin Rhodes actually back Nyla Rose up, as you hope he would. And I didn't actually realize that, I'm not sure, his son is transgender. So he obviously had a connection to that as well. And then people started attacking Dustin Rhodes as well. So we definitely saw the worst side of wrestling fans this week in terms of the abuse that people put out to people. The fact, all those things that you said, Matt, that people should be allowed to live their life exactly as they choose to, and people not respecting that, even in 2020. And I think wrestling is pretty inclusive, actually, perhaps more so on the indies than perhaps on the bigger organizations. We mentioned on previous Good Cop, Bad Cops how I think it's Freelance Wrestling that does their introduction, and they make it very clear as well that we're not tolerating anything like that. And if you feel uncomfortable, please come and talk to management and we will deal with it. We'll remove people if necessary. But once again, on a bigger stage, we're seeing the dark side of Twitter, and it was disappointing to see, rather than focusing on the positives that we obviously already talked about earlier.
I've mentioned before my thoughts on this, so at the risk, mainly because I don't want to waste my breath, because some people just won't listen, I will remind these people who are hating on Nyla Rose, who is a woman, winning the women's championship in AEW. These same people had no problem with Goldust being quote-unquote trans-effective back in WWE. Goldust was weird in itself. But no one had a problem with Harvey Whippleman winning the women's championship. And he was a man. No one had a problem with that back then. Move for 20 years when, if people want to be closed-minded and say Nyla Rose is a man, she's not. She's a woman. Okay? Get over yourself. It's 2020. Best thing to do with people is that little thing there is called the block button.
Bad.
Right, okay. On SmackDown, didn't blow my mind this week. And they should have done. They were busy hyping up an event that people couldn't care less about. Super Showdown. It's taking the place of Fastlane this year. It's in Saudi Arabia. Our thoughts on Blood Money Free aside. Whereas NXT had been building to TakeOver. And TakeOver was amazing. Again, because TakeOver is always amazing. But Raw and SmackDown, they were... I want to get excited about stuff. The Monday Night Messiah stuff is great, but it's like... I mean, the Street Profits turn up this week to join in Melee, but... I'm just like... What? I'm like, I need more to keep me interested. It's getting to a stage where I'd rather go and watch disc golf. I have got three speed check moments, Graham, so I need to be really quick with two of them because one of them is slightly longer, but it's more of a question at the end rather than anything else. So go.
You're going to let me do my speed check first? Okay, all right, I wasn't sure. Way too many false finishes, though. I really enjoyed NXT TakeOver, but I've talked about this before. It's too much. You know, until there's like 10 kickouts at 2 3/4, the match is not going to get won. They need to mix that up a little bit more. Thunder Rosa, She was involved in a hit-and-run accident this week. So she's trying to sell some of her gear to try and raise some money. That's obviously a bad cop moment for the NWA Women's Champion. And AEW Dark, the Muppet who was sat front row where the camera is with a big Scooby-Doo hat on. Oh my gosh, if I had been sat behind that person, I would have been fuming. There is no excuse for wearing such a ridiculous outfit that's clearly just to show off and get on television, but does not give any consideration to the person that sat behind them.
Yeah, you wear it straight. You wear it at the start and take it off. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Wear the start, go like that, take the hat off, and that's it. That's it. Yeah. Right, well, one of my feature moments you've already taken, which was no short matches in TakeOver, again. Mix it up, guys. Right, okay.
Good. Bad.
Okay, people calling for Bianca Belair to be added to Ripley vs. Charlotte Flair. Triple threat match. People wanting it to happen. I'm like, no. No. I like Bianca Belair, don't get me wrong, but not for this match. Okay, right. John Cena is apparently going to be announced at Grand Prix of Mania. He's booked to appear and to compete. There's been five names thrown around, Graham. Graham, I want you to pick one of these out. Elias, King Corbin, Goldberg, The Fiend, or Roman Reigns?
I would personally go with Elias, because he didn't really get a proper shout last time, so I think an actual legitimate match would be good.
Whilst I agree with you, and you're absolutely right, it won't happen, they're both face. So let's go turn Elias again, then no. Then another thing to be shouted about is a fatal four-way for Cena, with Cena, Goldberg, Reigns, and The Fiend for the Universal Championship, so The Fiend can lose the title without losing the match. I sort of want to see Goldberg versus Cena. I want to see Goldberg versus Reigns. I want to see Reigns versus Cena. Again. I don't really want to see The Fiend versus Reigns or Cena yet. It's too early still.
As long as Corbin's not involved, I don't really mind. Any other combination would be just fine.
Works for me. Feature done.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
Okay, unsure moments, Graham, or unshorts, as Jackson likes to say.
Another one. It's kind of short. I could have probably just put this in the speed check, but this stuck out more than anything else this week. Obviously, you asked me last week. I've said I was a big fan of Gargano, obviously, and the match with Finn Balor, and we could have easily talked about that as a good cop moment, but it's kind of an obvious one, I thought. The Ciampa match at the end with Adam Cole. Interesting. I'm still not sure it was the right finish, though. We've obviously seen Ciampa turn on Gargano before. This was Gargano turning on Ciampa. I don't know. They put DIY back together again. Now they're taking them apart again. It all sets up for another Ciampa Gargano. We've had it so many times. I'm not sure I'd even want another one right now. I wonder what different ways they could have finished that. I would have actually preferred this. I would have actually preferred Cole actually beat Ciampa, but only because Undisputed Era were there. And then in the next match, because obviously you'd get a rematch because it was unfair, Ciampa has Gargano in his corner to help him out. Cole has somebody from Undisputed Era, and then he actually turned on him. I would have rather seen another Cole Gargano match than another Gargano versus Ciampa match right now. So I'm not sure that they've necessarily got this the right way. I don't obviously know what the other plans are. I don't know what they're going to book. I'm just not sure about the turn right there. I didn't think it was necessary. If it's just to set up another match between those two, I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet.
Fair enough, Graham. My short cope is AKA Retro Cop. Now, the reason being is because I went back and I was looking at stuff for another project I'm working on at the moment.
Did you say another podcast?
No, a project I'm working on. I'm working on a project. That's all I'm working on. Not a podcast. Anyway, I went back and I was looking at like the 25 years of Raw anniversary a few years ago. And it was before the Women's Royal Rumble happened, the first one. And it's labelled WWE Honours Female WWE Legends. Okay? Now, I'm going to make... Now, in the order they came out onto the stage, these are the legends. Okay? Now, I'm expecting Graham to laugh at a few of these. Okay? The Bella Twins. Nope. Granted, but Nikki Bella had the longest reign of all time for Divas Championship, but that's like, you know, me being 24/7 champion means nothing. Maryse. No. Kelly. No. Lillian Garcia. Yes, but she's not a wrestler. Jacqueline, undoubtedly. First ever African-American to win the Women's Championship. She deserves that honour and deserves a Hall of Fame spot, definitely. Tori Wilson. Seriously? She's in the Hall of Fame, but she never won anything. How does that give her a spot ahead of people who have won championships? Victoria should be in there. Molly Holly should be in. I'm digressing. Michelle McCool, obviously, a four-time women's champion. She deserves to be in there, and not because she's the Undertaker's wife. Terry Runnels, good manager. She had a good managerial career. She deserves to be in there. Maria Kanellis, really? And Trish Stratus, arguably the greatest of all time, she deserves to be in there, obviously. Of them, you could probably name three who are actually legends. That is disgraceful to actually put that as a title. But at the same time, they have named some legends in there. So I'm not sure if people... The reason why I'm talking about it now is because it was Raw 25 thing, but it was recently uploaded, as re-uploaded to WWE's YouTube channel. And I'm like, really? But here's the scary thing, Graham. Kelly, okay? She's retired from wrestling, right? Who do you think is older, her or Charlotte Flair?
I would assume Kelly is the older one. But nope. I guess you're going to switch it up on me and tell me it's not. Wow, that is
Charlotte
surprising.
Flair is older than Kelly.
If you'd have asked me, in my head, off the top of my head, I was thinking Charlotte Flair, 31. Kelly, probably like 35, 36.
Kelly is 10 months her junior.
Wow. How old is Charlotte Flair then?
Now you're asking. 33.
Oh, okay.
And she's divorced twice. She's playing catch up to her dad on divorces as well. And that's staying in.
V-check. Just one thing to ask on this one. Now, the booking of Orange Cassidy. He still hasn't had a match. And people are saying that if he's that good, get him a match. Now, I've heard the different sides of that. The reason I'm picking on this specifically is I heard a fact that I hadn't realized. Jake Hager hasn't had a match yet either. He was there on the first one. He came out because he came and helped Jericho. He still hasn't had a match. He will, on the next pay-per-view, have a match. So that's what I'm kind of unsure about. Do you really need somebody to have a match to be an important part of that organization? Because Jake Hager's obviously played his role as part of the faction that Jericho's in. Orange Cassidy's still playing his role. Had a great role on AEW Dark this weekend again. Does he need to wrestle? I'm not sure. It's working for other people in that organization. I'm not sure that he has to wrestle a match yet. I'm quite happy with how he's doing it right now. But yeah, unsure.
I'm sure I agree with you, Graham, because it's hard to say one by another. I know it's a speech at the moment, but I need to elaborate on it a little bit. Back in the Attitude Era, when Austin and Angle were having their semi-feud backstage, and the whole Jimmy Crackle, and I don't get... You guys have seen it on YouTube and things in the past, Ben, where that and all the backstage kids were happening because Austin and Angle were actually both injured at the time. They couldn't compete. They were injured for about a month. They couldn't actually compete in the ring. So for Raw and SmackDown, they had to do backstage segments or promos and things. They kept themselves relevant. And that's what would be my argument. If you're injured, stay relevant somehow. Samoa Joe went on commentary to stay relevant. CM Punk, when he was injured back in the day, went on a commentary team. He stayed relevant. Orange Cassidy and Jack Hager, they're staying relevant. They're not necessarily taking part in matches, but I agree with you. They don't necessarily need to have a match to be relevant. If they never have a match, I'd have an argument that it's a bad cut moment. But if they actually want a schedule coming up, then that's fine. But
I think I need to instigate a new rule that the person who responds to the speed check should be kept to a minute as well.
Speed check done.
All right, what's your speed check?
Haven't got one.
Good. Bad.
All right, the devil's advocate. No. What? Oh, you got an open agenda. I normally just edit yours out anyway, so you've talked enough already. All right, the devil's at... No, I'm joking. All right, Matt, as you won the vote last week, what would you like to talk about in your non-wrestling open agenda item?
A serious one, Graham. I know I seem to do this a lot, but to those people in the United States, I apologize if you don't know who I'm talking about when I first mentioned this. But everyone in the United Kingdom this weekend was shocked and saddened by the loss of a TV personality called Caroline Flack. She unfortunately committed suicide at home due to, I don't know the exact reasons, a lot of people are saying it's due to social media and media intrusion and the pressure put on her because of that. I'm not sure the exact reason why. Mainly because this sort of stuff, it hurts. Because I've seen people I know lose their lives so young. A friend of ours, Aaron, was younger than her when he passed away. It wasn't due to suicide, but either way. So, yeah, basically, I want to use my open agenda to, again, remind people just to be nice to each other. Because you only get one chance to dance through this theme park called life. And, yeah, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. You say it to your kids all the time. You say it to your friends all the time. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Just because you have a computer screen and no one can see you does not mean you are not meant to keep that mentality. End of the day, I could say the most hateful things in the world if I wanted to. The amount of people I've seen, oh, bleep this and bleep that and bleep the other. It hurts people. It influences people. And everyone who's ever said, oh, just ignore the bullies, they won't bully you. No offense to people who said that growing up, but unfortunately, we now know that is BS. Because thanks to the internet, people no longer have a face. And they can say whatever they like. And what's the worst someone can do to them? Block them? They start a new account. Unfortunately, that happens. We've said earlier about blocking people who say hurtful things about Nyla Rose. Unfortunate thing is, what men are doing. End of the day, people will just create new accounts. Conrad experienced it last year. We jumped on it pretty quickly, and you know, we all go around Conrad, make sure he was okay. But Conrad goes through mental health issues. If anyone says they're not going through mental health issues, if you've never been through depression, if you've never been through that, I applaud you and I say you are very, very lucky. I sank into depression when Aaron died. I put on a lot of weight. I got through it, though, thanks to my friend, Bishop Graham, especially you. You really helped me through it all. And, you know, I helped Chris. His dad passed away, well, too many years ago now, unfortunately. 5 years ago this year, he was commemorating his dad passing. It's terrible. I'm there for him when he needs me, and he'll be there for me in 2 months' time when Aaron's anniversary comes round. It's sad, but your friends and your family will help you through it. But sometimes, remember, be nice to each other, because one day you may need people to be there nice to you. Have me done, Graham.
I had to use that very phrase in the classroom today when somebody was not being particularly nice to somebody else. Like, I'm sure you know the phrase, if you got nothing nice, still needs mentioning, people still need reminding about it. I don't think it does any harm to remind people of that. All right, let's move on to something a little more jovial, the devil's advocate, where we defend a wrestling-based statement, where we have to defend a statement for 20 seconds, whether we agree with it or not. Would you like to go first or second, Mr. Willis?
I need to take two of my DAs off then. Right, okay. We'll go. I'll go first, Graham, please.
It is said that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Therefore, WWE should not even be considering a pay-per-view in England for at least another 10 years.
Absolutely. It's been nearly 30 years since WWE came to the United Kingdom for a pay-per-view. I mean, the titles of EJO changed hands once on English soil ever. 8 stars beat Jinder Mahal for that. Now, would it come to the UK? It probably never will come to the UK because, end of the day, I mean, would Graham want to watch WWE and in the afternoon? No, no one wants to watch it. Watch it in the evening, which is how it always should be.
You thought it was a minute again. You thought it was the speed check, didn't you?
20 seconds, Graham. I filled the time perfectly.
even though it was finished mid-sentence. Ah, sure. It's not for the vote anymore, so it doesn't make any difference.
Made perfect sense what I said. Okay, Graham. Now, I do have three to choose from, but I'm giving you the third one.
Oh, you're not going to ask me? I'll choose the first one. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Well, the first one is one that you already knew. I wrote it down last week while we were off air, so I'm like, I can't use it. You prepared for it.
No, it's the disc golf one again. Okay. You can't hurt me twice. Go ahead.
Okay. The best part of TakeOver was Raquel Gonzalez's chokeslam on Tegan Knox. Go.
I didn't actually see that one at all because I was putting Jackson to bed, so I was totally bluff at this one. Obviously, that was the best part. Well, who wouldn't want to give that to Tegan Knox? She's been annoying in that last event, the War Games. She had no place in doing that. Everyone's wanted to get her own back at her. This is the perfect time. You step in a ring, you let her get a little defeated, then you step in and you chokeslam her. I don't think she was even in that match. Done.
At time.
I don't think she was even in that match, was she?
No.
I don't even know who it was.
Dakota Kai,
that's it. This was the point when I was putting Jackson to bed, I think, so I didn't catch much of it. I saw the intro and everything, and to be honest, I didn't care that I missed that match. Now, I did see people say that NXT TakeOver was brilliant, except for one match. Was that the match?
That was the match in question, yeah. There was botches galore. I will quickly, explain what happened. One is Dakota Kai was against the stairs and a trash can put in front of her. Tegan Knox went to do a cannonball, mistimed it, went headfirst into the ground before she hit her. But that wasn't the worst part. Was Raquel Gonzalez came into the ring, took Kai off the table, took Knox to the top rope, chokeslammed her through the table. However, didn't aim correctly. Knox hit the edge of the table, overturned it, and the back of her neck hit the table. Oh. How she didn't cripple her is a miracle.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
To say that it could be put on a shelf, that is the worst debut in NXT history, people are calling it.
Yikes.
Came in and nearly crippled one of the most over people in the company. That's why I put it in there, but you didn't watch it, right? So that kind of...
You didn't. And I'm glad you said debut now, because when you mentioned that wrestler's name, I'm like, who the heck is that? I was like, I've never even heard of that person. Okay.
She did a Young Classic last year, so...
Okay, fair enough. All right, talking of that classic, I thought at some point you might have been... I've been waiting for you to throw in the Eva Marie talk again. I was like, is that going to come in as a moment? Is it going to come in as a devil's advocate? Kind of talk. You asked me about it off air, and I was like, all right, he's asking me so he can use this against me at a later date. But all right, I guess not. Perhaps it'll come up in a future episode then.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out, Graham. Until next time, though, it's Matt and Graham signing off. We'll see you next week for episode 79. We're out of here. Boom. Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/